Anthony, you packaging up some mail there?
For the purposes of this bit, yes, I am. Let's say that I'm packaging up some mail to send to our patrons at the secret mail level.
Wow, and in this magical fantasy world where you're actually doing that, that mail is super cool and awesome, right?
Yeah, and even in the real world where we actually do it once a month, if you become a patron at the secret mail level, we send you a package every month that is full of interesting things. Previously, we've sent zines, we've sent pins, we've sent art prints, and we have something really amazing coming up this next month. That's patreon.com/wehaveconcerns. We live in a hellscape right now. I would say we live in a hellscape right now. That's fair. This is We Have Concerns. Hi, Jeff Cannata.
Hi, Anthony Carboni.
Hello, concerned citizens.
We talk a lot.
Yeah, we do. We never shut up.
What is wrong with us? Wouldn't we just give it a rest for a goddamn second?
How do we somehow try to make science about us? You know what I mean? Have you listened to 400 episodes
of this show?
Have you listened to 400 episodes of the show and been like, how do these fuckers try to make science about them? They clearly know nothing.
They know nothing.
Anyway, goodbye.
We talk a lot
this
about...
This is the last episode.
This is our farewell / we hate ourselves. We talk a lot about the CRISPR-Cas9. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think at one point I called it the future of science. It is changing the way we think about what is possible in biology.
Sure.
CRISPR-Cas9 is a tool that allows scientists to edit the genome, that allows you to do actual DNA reconstruction.
I imagine it as a large, glowing, humming tube, but that's not what it is. But you can continue to imagine it that way, the same way I do.
Yeah, I would be cool if it was a humming tube, if it was some sort of like 60s sci-fi gene editing tool.
I kind of picture it as like the thing they use to reconstruct Lilu in The Fifth Element.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah.
That's what I picture as. It's not that, guys. It's like software. It's software and a printer.
I would make Lilu in a heartbeat if I had a CRISPR-Cas9. Let's just like make me a Lilu. Lilu Dallas Multipass.
That's why
Lilo's.
Yeah. That's why they won't. That's why they won't give you one.
It's probably true.
Because there are a lot of ethical concerns that just raised up. Not even theoretical ethical concerns about CRISPR, but just ethical concerns that I now have about you as a person.
Well,
anyway, moving on.
It's justified. So this CRISPR-Cas9 gene editing tool, and it's being used all over the place to do some extraordinary things.
All over the place, everywhere you look. The kids on the corner with their fidget spinners and their DNA printers.
Yeah, they love it.
You go into the local convenience store and you're like, "Hey man, give me like a pack of Marlboros and edit this bird's DNA." Like it's fucking everywhere. It's like, "Okay, calm down. Fidget spinners and CRISPR-Cas9. I get it."
Well, we got a story sent to us by Zach Erbaugh, who sent this to wehaveconcernedshow@gmail.com. He's talking, this is actually a Newsweek article. This is mainstream media, the old MSM, as the
fake.
Kids like to say. Yeah, it's super fake. There is a new study out that says that we might be misappropriating our faith in the CRISPR-Cas9. It may be...
Heavens no. Editing the very building blocks of life might be a little beyond us right now.
It does seem like we may not be understanding the powers with which we're working.
You know, I don't buy it.
We're fine.
Everybody's always like, don't go into the weird old cave that glows with the runes. You don't know what's in there. You can't handle it. Fuck you.
Fuck you. I came out feeling so empowered.
I go in. I'm sure. Did I think I was only in there for 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Sure. How long was I in there?
Did I come out with a long white beard? Maybe.
Maybe. How long was I in there, Jeff?
You were in there 27 years.
Wow. And then I came out, started this podcast. Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine.
Here's what this study did. They actually looked at a bunch of mice that had their genes edited to try to edit out blindness in mice. They were trying to correct blindness in mice, and it actually had the intended consequence. But what they did was they took all these mice that had been edited using the CRISPR-Cas9, and they looked for other gene anomalies that may have popped up post-crisping.
Okay.
And what they found was... 1,500 other small changes in their genes and 100 large changes.
The ripple effect.
And not one of those changes had been predicted by the people doing the editing. So none of these were intended.
Changing 100 genes.
100, well, 100 big changes, 1,500 small changes.
Okay. Okay. So they changed a few genes for blindness.
Correct.
Do they give a number on on that?
No, it says that...
they just edited it out. That's all we know.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
But by editing whatever number of genes contributed to this blindness,
right?
Which I assume they first had to give these mice blindness.
I'm sure that's
breed these mice to be blind.
I'm sure that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
Cool.
They just had a bunch of mice stare at the sun as long as possible
without tiny manila folders.
Yeah.
Usually they'll give the mice a tiny manila folder
with a pinhole in it.
Yeah. And goddamn, think about a normal human pinhole. And then imagine how adorable a tiny mouse pinhole is.
Well, first they got to hire a bunch of mouse seamstresses that have tiny pins.
And then they bake them, like on YouTube, little mouse burritos to eat while they're staring at the sun. But these mice were given no burritos, and they were given no pinholes.
I mean...
And they were made blind.
Not cool about the burritos.
Science gives with one hand and takes away with
the other.
What they saw a ripple effect. They thought they were just changing one thing, but by changing that one thing, there was an effect of changing, of mutating a bunch of other stuff. And what did these mutations do?
Well, they're known as single nucleotide mutations, and that's just one of the chemicals, ATGC, that make up the building blocks of your DNA.
Mm-hmm.
One of those, maybe it's just different now. Maybe it's just a small change. It's a little different in your DNA.
The actual chemical?
The letter.
Wow.
The nucleotide. Yeah.
So the actual nucleotide.
Yeah.
Just, it's
different.
It's not adenine anymore.
Exactly.
It's something a little different than adenine.
And
you need adenine.
Those are how we get major diseases, right? Is our DNA flips wrong a little bit. So 1,500 of those in mice.
Have they observed this doing anything to the mice?
The Newsweek article doesn't go into what the effect...
I'm genuinely shook by this.
It's really disturbing. They didn't talk about what any observable result in the mice. Like, they didn't grow a third arm or, get cancer. They don't talk about what that is.
They seem exactly the same, but it's like a darkness to them. Mm-hmm. There's like a...
Yeah.
Even if you look directly at them, you feel like you're seeing them out of the corner of your eye.
Yeah, it's weird. It's
like
weird.
It's not visually a shimmer. It's almost a shimmer in my memory.
Yeah.
When I look at these mice.
Dude, you know what? I've never really put it in those terms, but I think you're hitting on it. I think that's exactly what it is.
Something.
I could have sworn.
I hesitate to say sinister. I hesitate to say.
Yeah, you don't want to say
because
that.
Because it's just a mouse.
You could have sworn they were right there, but they're right there. Is that what you're kind of talking about?
Like, yes.
You could have sworn they were. I just looked and they were just right there, but
and
now.
They are.
They are still right there, but now they're also right there.
But, like, why is that wrong to me?
It's definitely
like,
feels
why
wrong.
Is that wrong? Something's off.
Yeah.
And then there are the children that are disappearing.
You think that's related? I mean, because.
No, and it's weird when I try to remember. One of the kids that disappeared.
Yeah.
I can't.
I know that there was a kid.
I know that there were 3 mice and now there are 15.
I know that all the scientists involved in the study.
And I knew that there were 15 kids.
Used to have
kids.
And
now there are 3. And I don't know what's... It's weird. It's weird.
Is it weird or is it how it's always been?
It's hard to say. The important thing is that we've cured blindness in mice.
Yeah, they can see now.
Yeah.
They see it all.
Didn't this room have doors?
I don't remember.
I think I was born here.
So the bad news is the first clinical trials for CRISPR-Cas9.
The bad news is not that we fucked DNA.
Well, the bad news is not that we fucked DNA in mice. The bad news is that the first clinical trials of CRISPR-Cas9 in humans have begun.
Yeah.
So this is a study that is coming out right on the heels of just starting those human trials when they're like, guys, real quick point. We may be fucking up all mice that do this.
Yeah, but those are mice. And also they seem fine. They're right there. Wait, that's weird. They were right. No, they are. They're right there.
They're definitely right there.
They're right there, but they're...
Have they always been there?
Anyway, I feel compelled to put somebody into the glowing tube. So I think it's time to start the human trials.
All right. Well, why don't you put your kid into the glowing... Wait, you had a kid, right? Didn't you have a kid?
Let's put your kid in the glowing tube while I figure out whether I had a kid.
I don't have a... Wait, did I used to have a kid? I think we both had kids. No. I can't remember.
I gotta go to the store and buy 57 pounds of cheese, and I don't know why. But I'll be back.
We are injecting genetically modified cells into the lung of 10 lung cancer patients in, guess where? China. And the University of Pennsylvania is editing gene cells in patients with other types of cancer. So we're starting to do this in human beings using the CRISPR-Cas9 to try to edit out cancer, which is a laudable goal. That is something we would like to eradicate cancer by editing genes. All for it. There are just some researchers that say we may end up with some side effects that we haven't been able to predict.
This is the thing about being on the cusp of the next thing. The thing about being on the cusp of the next golden age of medical technology.
Yeah.
Is that it means that you are in the early dark ages of that particular part, right?
That's the problem with cusps.
This is the thing about a cusp.
It's a cusp problem.
You never want to be on a cusp.
You don't want to be on a cusp. Wait.
If you're behind a cusp, it kind of sucks. If you're ahead of a cusp, it's great.
Well, I don't know. Ahead of a cusp can be dangerous too.
I don't know.
You don't want to be on the cusp.
No, God, no. Get away from the cusp.
If you see a cusp in your neighborhood, tell someone.
If you live on a cusp, you want to always have like an emergency preparedness kit.
That's definitely
true. And like, if you start to feel a rumble, get to a door frame.
There should be at least two exits from your cusp.
Yeah. And you want to know where they are. And you want to know that everybody on the floor knows where they are.
Right.
Hire a floor marshal to
patrol the cusp.
Just to patrol the cusp.
Yeah.
But no, this is the thing, right? Like early... Early surgery looks barbaric to us. Why? Because it was fucking barbaric.
Only because it was barbaric.
Yeah. But hey, we needed to figure shit out, didn't we?
We got past that.
And we were doing it with laudable goals.
Right. Those were the baby steps to get us to today.
Yeah. And so here's the problem.
Unfortunately, a lot of babies were
unable to step afterwards. But here's
why
the thing.
Why they be stepping.
This is where we're at. I'm a cancer patient. I know it's terminal. The doctor has told me there is no surviving.
Mm-hmm.
There is this clinical trial. We don't know what it's going to do.
Yeah.
But I want to
put my hope in something.
It's probably going to get rid of the cancer.
Yeah.
And this is like, these are the dice rolls that we take with early medical technology.
Right.
You know, the first person who had like a Jarvik artificial heart, man, like,
yeah,
that wasn't good. That wasn't safe. It didn't go super well.
Yeah.
But you have to do it. So like, I get this. What's interesting, like, I want to know is the thing that they did to get rid of the blindness, the way that they use CRISPR, because I think we all have like a very surfacey grasp of CRISPR.
Mm-hmm.
We know that we're taking cells that are different, that are genetically modified. We're putting them back into a body to replicate and replace the cells that have the issues. Are there different ways of doing that? Is there a way that they did that in the mice that is different than how they will do it with a human?
Well, that is what at least one molecular biologist is claiming, saying that we should not be alarmed, that this is exactly, this is not surprising because they use the CRISPR-Cas9 in a way that no one else is doing, or that at least the vast majority of the people aren't doing, that it's abnormal and it's showing results that shouldn't be applied to how most people use it.
Yeah. And the idea came to them in a dream. It came to them in a dream and they don't even remember falling asleep in the lab.
They don't remember why they did it that weird way.
Yeah. And when they woke up, it was really weird. Like all the test mice had gotten out of their cage, or it seemed like all the test mice had gotten out of their cages and were around the scientist's head in like a semicircle, just staring.
And kind of making a weird chanting noise.
Yeah. But then when they kind of like blinked and wiped the sleep out of their eyes, they were all in their cage and it must've been a dream.
It must've definitely been a dream.
And the molecular biologist said, quote, "I don't even know why I'm telling you this." It seems weird to say this to a Newsweek reporter.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm digressing. I'll stay on topic.
adding, don't tell anyone of this.
So I think what this story is probably saying, I mean, the headline is the headline. It caused mutations that we didn't know it would cause. And that is the headline and that is the story. And there's nothing clickbaity about that. But I think what the subtext that I'm hearing is We are in the early days of CRISPR. We are still trying different techniques of injecting this DNA. And some of them will work in different ways than others. And we don't know the best way yet.
Well, here's the bad news about the biologist that claims that this is atypical and we shouldn't be alarmed.
It disappeared.
She,
but you can kind of see her in a painting in the hallway.
She co-discovered CRISPR-Cas9. So she's got a little skin in the game here.
Mm-hmm.
And by skin, I mean the molecules of skin.
By skin, I mean she's recreating people's skin.
Yeah. So I appreciate the fact that she's saying don't get alarmed, and these are atypical results, and they're using it in a way that's not intended. But she also is like, CRISPR-Cas9 is my baby. So,
yeah.
But she doesn't remember having a baby, which is really strange.
But there are photos of her with a child, and they seem close.
And they look like CRISPR-Cas9.
They just look like a glowing tube. Yeah, honestly, this all sounds fine.
Do you really think so? I think this is a little worrisome. I actually, as we talked about CRISPR-Cas9 over and over and over again, we talked about it in the idea of bringing dinosaurs back to life and edit, you know, de-extinctioning things.
Sure. The elimination of diseases.
Oh, it really could change everything.
And it still can.
And we, you know, I personally got very excited about the possibilities of this, especially because of how inexpensive CRISPR-Cas9 is. And you literally have these like mom and pop biologists doing this stuff. You have garage style experimentation. I'm worried now a little bit that there's a problem. You know, it's that we're in the second act of that crazy sci-fi horror movie where it's like all of the wonderful advances now come with a demon inside them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Like the cancer's gone, but why do my legs and my knees bend backwards now?
Right.
And I just thirst. I just thirst. I don't know for what.
I built an amazing contraption, but unfortunately a fly landed on the thing. And
sure.
Now I'm a fly man.
Now I'm a flyman. Yeah, but no, because to me this sounds like early neuroscience, early, like we were talking about.
You can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs.
Organ transplants. And like, what did we know about organ transplants then versus now about compatibility and attachment rate and things like that?
Yeah.
This is what happens when you do experimentation. And this is why we do experimentation. The fact that we are starting it on humans, like everybody goes, oh no, we're starting it on humans. But like you said, this is a trial that was probably like cancer patients who volunteered.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Like my brother is.
But they volunteered under the assumption that there weren't going to be 1,500 weird.
Hey,
things.
They volunteered probably knowing my brother. I think I've mentioned this before. My brother is a pediatric cardiologist.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that he did was he was working on a procedure that corrected literally incorrectable heart murmurs in children.
Wow.
Incorrectible. Yeah. If you showed up to my brother's lab, you were a kid that was going to die.
Wow.
You were dead.
That's crazy.
When he was testing this technique, one out of every 15 kids survived.
But that was a huge improvement.
14 died on the table.
Right. But at least...
But they were going to die.
Yeah, right. It was going to be 15 out of 15 otherwise.
And then as you work on the technique, it gets perfected more and more. You figure it out. And eventually, you want to get to the point where it's like, hey, that thing, that condition that was an incorrectable condition doesn't exist anymore. It's fucking polio or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's gone.
Yeah.
Vaccinations are real. But like... That's where we're at. And so you can look at it as like, oh no, science fiction. We're editing DNA. These people don't know what they're getting into. They fucking know.
Right.
These are people that are flying to China with cancer that is incurable.
You're not wrong. And I certainly
have
like, a lot
maybe
of...
I'm not flying back.
Right.
But I'm not going to live anyway.
Yeah. No, and those people are impressive and heroic in a lot of ways to sort of be on the cusp.
Yeah.
They're being on the, you know, they're living on the cusp. But I wonder, you know, when it's like, oh, we're editing these genes, we're looking at these genes, oh my gosh, we edited them, oh my gosh, blindness. But it's like, did we look at all the other genes? Did we look? Is this the first?
Well, apparently we are, yeah.
Now?
You know,
yeah.
Apparently we are. Like, I think they're looking every time.
I want this to work. I want this to be the future. But I want us to be certain.
But here's what it's going to be, right? It's going to be, eventually, we're going to get to the point where we know, hey, if we flip this gene, it causes this to happen over here.
Right.
So we know that we also, when we flip this gene, need to do this.
Right.
Right. And that's what we're going to learn. We're going to, because right now we're looking at it as like, it's a big fucking switchboard, right? Like a 1950s telephone.
Yeah.
And we're just plugging shit in and we're right. like figuring out how to connect things to other things. But yeah. like, eventually it becomes a holistic system. It's not flipping a switch. It's like,
yeah, it's like orchestrating.
Yeah, we turn this, we flip this switch, and then we turn this dial, and we kind of lower this,
yeah.
Lower this, and everything in concert, so we know exactly how to fix it. And that's where we are right now.
Right.
And look, are we going to have some terrifying flipper babies? You goddamn right we are, and I'm sorry.
Can't make a omelet without some flipper babies.
You cannot. Look it up.
Yeah.
Look it up. It's in a Thomas Keller cookbook. Guys, how do you feel about this? Is I obviously it's spooky in some ways.
Yeah.
But like, we on that cusp.
Do you think we should slow our roll or just live on the cusp?
Are we living on that cusp? Let us know. I'm at A. Carboni.
I'm at Jeff Cannata.
And you can hashtag those on the cusp.
On the cusp.
And hey, guys, I want you to know that Clash of Concerns is back.
What? The Clash of Concerns? You mean the ultimate showdown of We Have Concerns episodes from the past?
That's right. Every week we bring out a new month of old episodes. You vote on those episodes. We figure out what the best are. And eventually we will get to a point where we are voting the 10 best episodes in the entire history of We Have Concerns.
And all the other episodes will be deleted.
And they'll be deleted and you will
forever.
Never be able to listen to them again. And we're not sorry. We are not sorry.
We only want there to be 10 episodes
there
of this show.
Only ever be 10
ever.
Episodes at a time. No, we're going to create a new listener's guide, which we already have, but we're going to make a much better one so we can help people get into the show. And also just so we know what you guys like and what you want to see more of and yeah. where we should take things. If you want to vote, you just head to wehaveconcerns.com, scroll down to where you see Clash of Concerns, and just tick off your favorites.